It's a Panthers podcast in association with Signomics on Panthers Radio. Thought we'd have a look back because there's been a real number of signings over the past couple of weeks. So let's get the boys back together, Jono Bullard and Dan Green. Hello to you both.
Evening, guys.
Evening, everyone.
We're going to like just delve into it, I think, boys, and really crack on and go back. And I was just trying to pick my brain when we were last together. We'd signed, of course, you know, the three British players in a row, Ollie Betteridge and Josh Tetlow and Jordan Kelsall. And then came the news, guys, that Steven Anderson and Mike Caruso were coming back. Jono, I want to start with you and Steven Anderson. I think by his own admission, he probably didn't set the world alight at the start of the season, but who did really? But for the final few months, I don't know about you, but I think he was Panthers, you know, one of the most consistent performers, and not just scoring goals, but the other aspects to his game that he brought to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was very, very good the second half of the season. And I thought in the playoffs he was outstanding as well. I think he was our top point scorer in over the four playoff games. And you mentioned his goals, 17 goals he scored. But if you look at the opposition he was scoring goals against as well, it was like Sheffield, Belfast, Cardiff. I think he scored 5 or 6 goals against Cardiff. So he was scoring against the so-called bigger teams in the league. He bought everything every night. He gave 100%. I was really, really pleased to see that he was coming back, because I just think he was one of the shining lights from last season.
And Greener, he's a good guy, isn't he? Like a good guy to be around the room. He, you know, he sets good examples. He's a good character, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's really, just like Jono said, really hardworking, honest. Just a good guy. You know, from our sort of point of view, very low maintenance, never causes any issues. Really good locker room guy. And again, like Jono said, for someone that, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, he didn't have a great year. You know, 17 goals. There can't have been many of our guys that had more than him. And, you know, you would probably say his role is more of a, you know, bringing energy. He penalty kills. He's physical. You know, he had 2 or 3 fights. I think if we get that same return minimum, and, you know, obviously going to have a lot more players that are going to probably put the puck in the net, I think he'll be that kind of, you know, defensive forward that does a little bit of everything. But yeah, I think he's a very important cog for the Panthers next year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at in his career, you know, he scored 15 goals in Denmark in 38 league games there. And then in the Youth Sports League, he's regularly scoring 16, 12, 13 goals. And not that old, you know, 28. And we'll come to that very shortly indeed about the mode and the model that Omar Pasha is going with alongside Jonathan Paraday. But Greener, talking of good guys in the room, I mean, in Mike Caruso, clearly as the roster's being built so far, he's the only player, I think, the other side of 30 on the roster. His experience, I mean, it's valuable anyway, but for the type of team Nottingham are building, it could be huge. A guy that's been there and done it all.
Yeah, exactly. I think, obviously, you know, you've seen the sort of model that we're building. Very young, I'm sure we'll touch on this more, but very young, very fast, very offensive, which I think we lacked last year. And I think you saw other teams, you know, really took it to us when they had that. But I think for Caruso and Anderson, it's the same thing. You know, Caruso, a little bit older, very experienced, fairly just no-nonsense physical. But, you know, I think he's a guy, you know, when we always go back to that treble-winning team, we were so gifted offensively with speed and skill and everything. But, you know, we had the Jason Beckett at the back or the Stevie Lee. We had the just a rock steady player, experience, physical, probably not going to be on too many highlight reels, but that's not what he's there for. You know, like you said, he's probably going to, you know, wear a letter, you would think, captain or an assistant, and he'll sort of be a leader on and off the ice. And again, like Anderson, I don't really think you read too much into his stats. He's there for other things. And you know, with him and Tetlow back there already, you know, so far, you've got two big, strong sort of defensive defensemen. So amongst all the speed and skill we're signing, we've kind of got those two guys that will kind of get their noses dirty in other areas.
Jono, come on to you. And I'm not going to particularly go in order. You know, I think because we're talking about defence, let's jump to one of the most recent signings, Carl Neal, because like Caruso, Neil has been drafted in the NHL, not played in the NHL, unlike Caruso, of course. But, you know, he comes, doesn't he, Jono, with a good pedigree despite his age. And I'll just go through some of the things that, you know, that we talked about, me and him. Clearly, he's an offensive defenseman. You can see that throughout his junior career. You can see that when he played in Denmark. You can see that when he played for Ljubljana. But as we talked about as well, he can switch it about a bit. And clearly in Germany, you know, that is one of the best European leagues in the world. And clearly in Germany, he played a slightly more defensive role. And we talked about how he had to change between the two and how, you know, he's happy to play at both ends of the ice. So you look about, you know, a guy here, he's only 26, Jono. He fits that mold that the coaching and the management team are building. But he's already been, you know, a great year in Denmark, played in the AHL, got drafted. There's something about him, you know, and also has played in the DEL and so on. This guy looks like he, you know, he's got sometimes you see guys with great CVs, but they come at the end of the career. This guy's going up, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's what you could probably describe as a bit of a stud signing, I think, from when I looked at it, and then when I looked at his CV. And I'd seen another interview with him from, I think, a couple of months ago, where he did some sort of Q&A with, I think, a podcaster over in North America. And he was talking about that, about how in Germany he had to turn into a more defensive player rather than and sort of hold up on the offensive side. So this is clearly a player who can be coached, who can fit into any team system. And you look at the teams he's played for, swinging a Wild Wings, Cologne Sharks, Olympia Ljubljana, they're big sides in Europe that he played for. So he comes here with a lot of pedigree. And he's sort of one of those signings where I looked, I thought, you know, Omar and Jonathan Paraday have done a really good job to get a player of this caliber to come over, especially at the age he is.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And Greener, you know, you look at a signing like that. And again, look, I'm no coach. My suspicion is he'll play an offensive role for the Panthers. You know, the Danish league is not too similar, maybe, in standard to the elite league. You know, my hunch is, you know, he could play in an offensive role. And, you know, that's good to see it. You know, I don't feel like we've had a defenseman, you know, who was the last, you know, one, Jono, you might know, who was the last guy to be considered an out-and-out offensive defenseman who really put the points up?
There was Corey.
I mean, you know, Corey, obviously, Jonathan Weaver, Cody Wild, yeah. people like that, you know. But you know, Greener, you know, it would be, you know, we all love offensive defensemen. If he plays that role, it could be a lot of fun watching him play. You know, you've seen a bit of video clips of him. He's got a great shot. You know, he clearly has a talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key thing, like Jono touched on, is his age. You know, I think, obviously not that it's old, but if we were getting him at 30, 31, you would kind of think, okay, he's kind of on the back nine. He's still going to be good, but this is a guy that was only drafted 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, for a defenseman, he's probably kind of in his prime. It kind of reminds me of that sort of Jan Sove, maybe, you know, drafted, good reputation, came at a good age. I think Sove was maybe a little bit older. But, yeah, I expect him to be really dominant, you know, kind of a, you don't want to match him up with someone, but, you know, Sheffield had Petgrave. You know, that guys like that, I expect him to come in and be a points guy, play on the power play, good pedigree. But obviously, because he's used to playing that shutdown role, some of those other guys sometimes get criticised because they're great going forward, but they maybe don't defend well. But he can obviously do both. But I agree with you. From who we've signed so far, I don't think you bring in an offensive kind of stud like that and then turn him defensive. I think he'll be, you know, lots of minutes, first power play, you know, he will be the guy defensively. I think that, you know, unless we sign anybody even better, he'll be the guy that's probably expected to kind of lead the charge from the back.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Greener. And, you know, let's kind of now take a look at the forwards. You know, they're all, again, you know, going in the same mold, I suppose. You know, it's, you know, I don't want to pick, you know, I don't want to like favour one over the other, but I guess if you look at one in terms of where they've played and what level they've played up, I guess Otto Nieminen is probably the standout so far, but we can touch on the others as well going forward. I mean, he scored a lot of points last year, the leading goal scorer in Denmark. Actually, before we go on to that, I do want to make a point that's come back to me. So we'll go back onto that. But we'll come back on it to later, boys, because it's a crucial point and we'll make it at the end about players on the trajectory up. But going back to this one, you know, Jono, this guy has played in the Motorpoint Arena before in the Champions League. He's finished as Denmark's leading goal scorer, not point scorer, leading goal scorer. And he's come through the junior system of one of the top European leagues in the world. Other teams in the Elite League were after him. One team thought they'd signed him, and Nottingham got in there and got him. So, you know, I am excited by this signing, Jono.
You've only got to look at where he's played before. Like you say, the big thing for me was last season, he was the overall top goal scorer in the Danish league. Again, a very similar setup of league to the Elite League. And it was probably an area where we was lacking last season, is goal scorers. So to have someone come in who knows where the back of the net is really important. But the other thing I want to point out from Nieminen is the fact that he's played 235 times in the Finnish Liga. That's one of the best leagues in the world. Yeah. So to ice 235 times at that level, he has to have something about him. 22 games in the CHL as well, as we know. And he's only 27. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's becoming clear, and I know we'll probably come on to this, but it's becoming clear as to what sort of roster that Omar and Jonathan Paraday want. They want a young, fast roster, and I think he fits the bill perfectly. And looking at his CV, he's another one that you could probably describe as a bit of a stud signing, looking at where he's played previously.
Yeah, I mean, Greeno, it's you can only go on clips on YouTube and stats so far, but this guy is coming to the Panthers, who's clearly, you know, as Jono said, those amount of games that he's played in the top flight in Finland, the Danish league, you know, Paul Thompson was his former coach. I know Paul Thompson speaks very highly of him, indeed, you know, extremely highly of him, top class player. You know, it's got all the attributes to be a great signing, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, you know, playing in the top Finnish league, if you've done it for one or two seasons, is really impressive. But to do it for four, five, six seasons like he had, you know, just shows his pedigree. I spoke to Brett Pelini a little bit about him, who was obviously in Denmark, played against him. And he said he was one of, you know, their standout players. But yeah, you know, I just think, like you said, being the leading goal scorer in that league is, you know, and again, like Jonas said, I think the two things we missed or lacked, not missed, but lacked were scoring and speed. And I think, you know, all the guys we're mentioning now have both, and you know, he has both in abundance. So, you know, if he can do that in that league, you would expect at least similar. So if we're bringing a guy in who's going to have, you know, minimum 25 goals next year, you know, it's not often you can kind of do that and guarantee it. So, yeah, he looks very promising indeed.
And then, you know, I'll put these two together, Jono. But Didrik Henbrant, the Swede, comes in and, you know, he played a couple of games in the SHL, although I think by his own admission, he effectively was a bench warmer. But he still got caught up there as a junior, then went down the path of North America and had put up the points. NCAA, best level of college hockey in North America. So again, that's fitting the mold, the young age, obviously, that the coaching and the management, you know, are trying to get this season. And then, of course, Tyler Welsh, who again, he's not too dissimilar. You look at him and he's had a load of time in the NCAA, and then obviously got his breakthrough in that final year in Long Island, and he played 9 games in the East Coast. And then he goes to the French league, and again, another decent league in Europe. Okay, not a patch on Germany and not a patch on Finland or Sweden, but, you know, they're the types of nations, aren't they, GB and France, who are almost grouped together a little bit behind that elite level. And he turns up and scores at a point a game in the French league. So there's two signings again there that are, okay, they've got different backgrounds, but they're very similar. You look at the research on them, that fast players. Again, they're two and I'm going to touch on this in the next question, maybe, that they're not perhaps the tried and tested, or not tried and tested, they're not perhaps the method that Panthers fans have been used to over the years, but I'm very excited in this direction.
Yeah, I mean, going to Tyler Welsh, he played, I think, at Yale. Yeah, he played at Yale. Yale is a good school. It's a good hockey school. It's NCAA Division I in one of the top conferences. You don't play at Yale if you're a slacker. let's put it that way. You've got to be a good player to play there. The same with Hembrandt, because he played at the University of Maine, which is a similar level to Yale. So they coming from really good NCAA backgrounds. Obviously Hembrandt probably a little more untested on a professional level, because he's only got those, three SHL games, because he played in a playoff game as well. So he's coming in straight off the back of the NCAA. But the NCAA is such a professional organization. The setups are incredible. So it's really amateur only in name. It's a very professional setup. So he'll be coming from a good background. Tyler Welsh, I'm sure that Jonathan Paraday will know him well. He will have played him against him, or he would have seen him last season in the League Magnus when he was playing for Mulhouse. Over a point a game, at that level, is still pretty decent, and you only have to look at the likes of Steve Ourie and David Gilbert, who played for Belfast last season. They both came from the League Magnus, and they ended up with a treble.
That's a great.
So
point.
It's a good standard.
That's a really good point. There's so many things I want to pick on this and unpick on this, and I'll try over the next few minutes I'll try and make some points and ask questions to you, Greener. But you know, the model that appears to be going is not too dissimilar of how Guildford Greener have handpicked and cherry picked some great players out of the college system, is it? And clearly it worked for them last year. And not just last year, because you see some of their better players that have come in from this not long out of college system. It clearly has worked. If you do your homework and do your due diligence, which I really feel that Jonathan and Omar are doing, you pick up some gems, don't you? Guildford have shown that it isn't just about signing experienced players who have done it all and they're in their 30s.
No, exactly that. I think Ryan Tate's another good example. You know, one of Guildford's best players last year out of the French League, not a big resume. And, you know, he's another one. But yeah, I think the back in my day, say when I was playing and that sort of time, the game was a lot heavier, a lot bigger, a lot older. You know, everybody was sort of 30. It was a bit more like an American League setup, a lot of veteran players. It was very physical. But the thing now is the game is very fast. So, you know, in the main part, to be fast, you've got to be pretty young. So it's kind of gone from 28, 29, 30 to, you know, yeah, just because a guy doesn't have a big resume, if he's 26 and he's a really good, skilled player, it doesn't really matter where he's played. Like you said, you speak to their coaches in college, you speak to people that have played against them. If they're a good person, they work hard, they're skilled, yeah, there's no difference. And it's, you know, it's not to say there's a right or a wrong way, but I do think it's shifting. You saw Coventry, they've shifted in the last couple of years. They've brought in a lot of sort of younger college guys, and you know, these guys are hungry and they're wanting to come to this league to then jump to a better league, basically. And when you bring in the older guys, like you said, they kind of see it as their last few years. But I think you want young, hungry players that are trying to make a stamp on the season. And, you know, if you don't keep them all, that's a compliment, because they've then gone on to bigger and better things. So I think lots of teams will be doing it and, you know, sort of casting the net a little bit wider. But I think definitely with Welsh, he'll be one, you know, scored a lot of points last year, you know, good pedigree. Like you said, Jonathan, we've obviously seen him play, and, you know, like if he fits the mold, then it'll work, hopefully.
Well, you make a great point with Ryan Tate, and let's use him as an example. You know, his college career in 4 years in the NCAA at Providence College, 10 points in 33 games, 9, 5, and 6. Now the number, I know you can't, you know, just because he did something here, he's going to do something there. So it's like horses for courses. If you look at the two guys that Nottingham have brought in through the NCAA. They outscored him. But you look at the pathway. He went to France 2 and did okay, just under a point a game. Went to the Ligue Magnus, scored just under a point a game. And then went to Guildford and lit it up. 62 points, 54 games. He you know, if you said to Nottingham Panthers fans, you know, which player would you want to steal off an elite league club? Let's talk about Guildford. They'd say Ryan Tate. And, you know, again, and this kind of brings me on to one of the points I wanted to make. I've seen, you know, certain sections of the fan base make comment about the signings. And that's their right, 100%. You know, we've got a fan base that's desperate for success. But, you know, I've seen people say, well, Panthers are shopping in the bargain basement. And I just think in some ways that's a little bit disrespectful. But it's probably like, I think you touched on it, Greener. The league is very different now from what it was probably pre-pandemic. It was very much more of a league where perhaps there would be more AHL experience and so forth. But as we keep saying, Guildford have shown that, you know, you can use his method. And I think the point I want to make as well is like, you know, just because these guys, and you both were making it quite well, I think, just because both these guys don't have that huge experience, you know, behind them, you know, we're catching these guys on the up. How many times in Nottingham have we been wowed by a CV? And realistically, we've just caught a guy on their way down and they've ended up like having not a great year and never playing hockey again. You know, that's happened a lot of times recently. I'm sure we could, you know, could reel off a list. So, you know, going back to you, Jono, you look at the stats and it's so hard to make from stats, but we all reach out to people to find out the best that we can. And these guys I'm hearing really good reports from people I talk to. It's the age, it's the hunger, but also, you know, that they've had stellar junior careers so far. They're coming off, you know, good years, whether it be the first pro year that, you know, in terms of that, you know, I think there's a lot to be optimistic about, and people who think, you know, these signings aren't really the way we should be going. It's not worked, you know, going another way for a few years. And this, you know, as you pointed out, you know, the players you've mentioned, Jono, it shows that there's a formula here which can work.
Yeah. We've had, I mean, the last elite series aside, the last trophy we won was 2017, which was the Continental Cup. So what we've been building hasn't worked in the past few seasons from the fact that we've not won any domestic trophies. So maybe it is time to look in a different direction. Maybe it is time to look at a different way of recruiting players and different players from different backgrounds and seeing if it works. I mean, it's the thing I've already mentioned. I saw a lot of people say, well, NCAA, yeah, but these are playing for top NCAA colleges, hockey colleges, like the types who get invited to the Friendship Four in Belfast.
Or go on to play in the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll be playing with players who have been drafted or are about to be drafted. So the standard at the NCAA, I think there's a lot of disrespect towards the NCAA because it's such a good standard of hockey. Really, really good standard. And so if we're getting players coming from the top colleges that play in that system, then yeah, what's wrong with that? These are players that, like you say, are on the way up. They're young players. They're probably hungry because this will be their first or very early in their professional career. They'll want to win things. And even so, might want to put themselves in the shop window for a move higher up as time goes on.
Yeah,
you know, this is the thing. It's so much potential when you've got guys coming in of this age, who will be young and hungry and want to win things.
Yeah, I mean, I've just Googled this here and just gone on to a website that talks about players that have gone into that are currently in the NCAA. Sorry, that are currently in the NHL. That they've played in the NCAA, and I've run out of lists. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds. Mm. Literally, you know, we could go on for ages. So, you know, the NCAA, you know, produces top quality players to bring into to the NHL. you know, greener. It's a bona fide sort of route for players to reach the NHL, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the best, you know, between that and then you've got like Canadian Major Junior. They're the two real routes. And it's, yeah, just because a guy hasn't played 5 years in the American League and a load of years in Europe, it just means they're on their way up. They haven't, you know, Ryan Tate hadn't reached his potential when he was 22 and he was only scoring 10 points a year. But I bet you now if there was a scout at a game last year watching him play, he would have been the first one to say, God, he looks like a player. Yeah, like, you know, he obviously kind of slipped through the net. And yeah, I think, you know, yeah, you've got 23, 24-year-old players. They're young, they're fast, they're hungry. And I also think as well, I know it's a bit of a Herb Brooks quote from the film Miracle, but you're not looking for the best team. You're looking for the right team. So you're not looking, it sounds stupid, but for the 20 best players, you're looking for the right players that fit into a budget for this league. So exactly that, like you said, Ryan Tate kind of out of nowhere, if you had 20 of him, you know what I mean? You'd be absolutely laughing. So yeah, I really think, you know, you can't really judge a guy on where he's played until you've seen him. So
yeah,
give these guys a chance and I'm sure they'll turn out great.
You know, and look, I've got no, you know, indication on where this roster's going. I just wait for to be told who's signing and, you know, get the job done and get the interview done. But, you know, Greener, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, there'll be more signings like this to come, sprinkled with the odd bit of experience. I still think you'll need that. I don't think, you know, you see with Mike Caruso and his experience, you know, you're going to need a bit of sprinkling of experience. But I wouldn't be surprised to see more guys like that. Would you agree?
No, not at all. I think obviously getting Carl Neal is a probably a, you know, a big name, if you want to call it that, a stud signing. I would expect our goalie or goalies, whatever, to probably be like that. And then, yeah, you know, probably two or three more bigger names. But I think the rest will be, you know, young guys, hungry guys, guys that the coaches and Omar have seen and know about, that maybe they've either played in this league before and were successful or have played in other leagues and kind of done a similar role. But yeah, exactly that. I think we'll have two or three other bigger names, bigger CV, maybe older guys. But then I still think we're going to have that youth and speed sprinkled in to kind of complement it. So exactly like with Guildford, you know, they had sort of like, you know, the Ben O'Connor was obviously an older guy, Cronella, guys like that, Ferguson, but then it was all sprinkled with the guys like the Tates and the kind of younger skilled guys. So, you know, for you to say that was a really good comparison with us in Guildford, and I think that mould's obviously worked, and yeah, I expect it to continue.
Jono, there's one guy we've not talked about, I think, in all of this, and it's a really interesting signing, and that was the one we announced, God, there's been so many, Friday morning, 7 o'clock, of Zane McKenzie. One person that I know, you know, judging by your response on social media and what we talk about, one you're really excited about. Now, Zane obviously first came to the attention, I guess, of many Panthers fans in the third, fourth playoff game where he got an assist slash a goal. Don't think anyone really knows yet what it officially was, but it's down as an assist. There was some talk that it was a goal. He did well that afternoon, but obviously he'd been training with the Panthers long before that. Corey Nielsen brought him in about December time, and he'd been spending a lot of time with the Panthers while also icing, of course, with Milton Keynes. He's played for GB under 20s. And obviously, you know, he'll now play on a two-way with Telford Tigers. You speak to the guy, you know, away from an interview, you know how much of a great person, a grounded person he is. I thought that came out in the interview I did with him, you know, just the way he talked about how he went to North America and went to the Ontario Hockey Academy, and he learned a lot about being a hockey player and learned what he had to do. You see there a guy who not only has talent, but he also is a very grounded person as well, Jono.
He's totally and utterly earned this opportunity by the way he has conducted himself and his attitude while he was training with the Panthers. He just got his head down, got on with it. You know, he was told that he probably wouldn't get an opportunity at the Panthers last season, but he took the opportunity of coming to train with an elite league team. He was happy to come in and train. He was like a sponge. He wanted to learn as much as possible. And because of the way he conducted himself, he earned his opportunity in that third and fourth place game, got rave reviews for the way that he played. And yeah, I'm absolutely delighted for him because he is a great human being. And for him to get this opportunity, I was so, so pleased when I saw that on Friday morning because, you know, he totally and utterly deserves it.
And who knows how many games he will play. Obviously, we know what it was like for Panthers last season in terms of the last player, you know, who was on a two-way was Archie Hazeldine, of course, and he spent a lot of the season in Nottingham, played a lot of time. The thing with Zane as well is he knows where the net is. If you look at his junior career, of course, spent a bit of time with the under-15s, I think, and the under-18s in Nottingham. But, you know, he went to the Bees, and in 20 games as a, what was he? I think he was 16. He scored 13 points in 20 games. Then went with GB and got, you know, 3 points in five games at a world championship. You know, this guy obviously can put points. You know, we're not going to see a huge amount of him, maybe, Greener. And just quickly, I realise we're running out of time. But it's exciting to see that, you know, we all, you know, we'll have our own view on 15 imports. And I'll openly say that I'm not a fan. But it's exciting to see, isn't it, that we're going to try and look to develop a young player.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, echo everything Jono said. He seemed like a really good kid last year when he was here, worked hard. He's obviously got talent, but I think you'd rather have a kid that worked hard and was a great person over talent. You know, I think that's the most important thing with what Omar's building. He'll go away to Telford. He'll probably play, you know, sort of like Jack Hopkins did with, you know, he'll play huge minutes with them. And when he gets the chance to play with us midweek, if there's injuries, he'll step in. I'm sure he'll skate with us, you know, a lot as well. And yeah, I think it's just you know, he's sort of climbing the ladder with us. So good to see. And I'm excited to watch him play.
Well, there you go. I think we're about done. We've used up all our time. I'm still too cheap to play for a professional account on Zoom. So, you know, there you go. We've bored people enough. So there you go. From two of us with shirts on and somebody, I'm sure you know, with their shirt off. Thanks for joining us again. And we'll be back soon. You just tilted the camera there so we could see. That was great. Thanks, Greener. That was absolutely beautiful.
Thanks, John.
There you go. And we'll speak to you soon.